Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:17 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 13th. Well, today Bitcoin broke out to a new all-time high, and it's been ranging below the 60,000 level for most of the last 2 months, and that has been a significant loss of momentum, and it would have triggered a midpoint danger line stop at the end of March. So it's certainly less consistent. It needed to break out, and it has done so, and now it needs to sustain the move in order for this trend to fulfill the dreams of the most ardent bulls. One thing that's quite clear is that some of the higher beta plays are now outperforming. So Ethereum has pushed on to another new high and tacked on an additional $156 in here today. So this is a clear breakout now, and a rather orderly consolidation in the region of the previous peak. We've also started to see that some of the laggards are now really moving in a very dynamic manner. So Ripple, which is considerably smaller than either Bitcoin or Ethereum, has now pushed on the upside, but it's more indicative of the significant catch-up that a lot of the smaller tokens are now performing. So that's, I think, one of the more significant factors. This is something that I've been pointing out for a few months now, is not so much that there is any particular commonality between gold and Bitcoin, but rather that the markets tend to perform in a similar manner. So we generally have seen that gold would go first, then silver, then it would create demand for more high beta plays. So you then start to see greater demand for alternative assets like miners, then the gold miners give way to the junior gold miners, and then the explorers. So then in the cryptocurrency markets, it was Bitcoin went first, then Ethereum, and now the smaller ones are starting to play catch up. So for example, we've seen Ripple breaking out to new highs, and IOTA has now broken out as well. And I can show you that chart. Bloomberg doesn't carry most of these smaller coins, but IOTA, for example, has exceeded the peak from 2018, and it has taken out the dollar level. It's in fact now above the $2 level. So we're definitely getting increasing interest. There was an additional piece of news in here today, and it was in relation to Binance, because they are starting to create fractional ownership of stocks through their own cryptocurrency. And of course, we're also seeing that Coinbase will have its IPO this week, so that will be the first of the big cryptocurrency exchanges moving into the public markets. Binance is probably not far behind it. But Tesla popped on the upside, because the first share that you'll have fractional ownership of will be Tesla. So it bounced very nicely from and break back above the $700 area. So clearly confirming support in the region of the trend mean in here today. That's also been positive for the Nasdaq, which pushed on to new high ground. So that's also been additionally positive. With increasing interest in speculation, and then also additional interest in growth, well, it's I think particularly relevant that bond prices rebounded pretty emphatically in here today from an early decline. So this is increasingly looking like a type 2 bottom that it could potentially now be in the process of being completed. And 10-year yields are also starting to roll over. Again, this was a rather dynamic move that we saw in here today. So downside follow through tomorrow would break the sequence of higher reaction lows. It would suggest that investors are willing to give credence to the view that we're not going to see interest rates rising anytime soon. And additionally, that there are certain attractions to the bond yield around the 1.7% area. and we certainly saw some interest in that area in here today. One thing that I think is really quite relevant is we've had a significant rebound in growth-oriented portions of the market and highly speculative portions of the market, and yet the ChinaX index is continuing to remain weak. There are a number of reasons for that, but I think the most important are that the Chinese administration is really weighing heavily on companies like Alibaba and forcing a restructuring of the company. The share was in positive territory rather sharply yesterday, didn't move much in here today. When we think about Tencent, then the share is also right now in the region of the trend mean. This is exactly where it needs to find support if it is in fact going to do that. So it's touch and go for China. Certainly the return of demand in growth sectors is going to be beneficial for some of these more highly speculative portions of the market, with the IPO index bouncing pretty emphatically today or extending its rebound from the trend mean. That's also quite positive for the more speculative area of the market. And of course, the high yield sector is also still very much in demand, and we continue to see that these high yield spreads are in the region of historic tights. So it hasn't been we haven't had quite the same demand for high yield debt since 2014 relative to treasuries, and back then yields were substantially higher than they are today. When we then think about, well, exactly how does all of this fit together? Well, we can look at the performance of global stock markets, and the Nasdaq was certainly among the better performers in here today. And the other point is that China benefited enormously from hot money inflows in 2020 because it was faring better with the coronavirus, and it was also still paying a positive yield, and it had a reasonably strong currency. So there was a lot of factors that were helping to attract investors there, particularly because of the deep level of uncertainty that there was about the rest of the world. But now that the UK and the USA and Israel are on the cusp of achieving herd immunity, or getting to a point where the majority of the populations have been inoculated, then quite the same need to hold a safe haven asset like China is certainly not as compelling. So we're starting to see a return to performance of other assets. But the important point, though, is that that money is flowing back to developed markets. When we look at the renminbi, it's not appreciating any longer, although it was in slightly positive territory in here today, and it's unwound about half, or maybe a bit more than half, of its overextension relative to the trend mean. Other Asian currencies are weakening. So the Asia dollar index is really overweighted by the renminbi. We are also seeing that some of the stronger currencies this over the last year have weakened and are now approaching the region of their respective trend means. That's certainly true of the Taiwan dollar. It's also true of Korean won. The Indian rupee has also weakened rather aggressively over the course of the last couple of weeks, and it has now broken down to a new reaction low. So that is in direct response to the rising number of cases in India and the willingness of the RBI to flood the market with liquidity and engage in quantitative easing. Generally, quantitative easing, at least in the West, has resulted in contracting, or sorry, in rising yields. And that is despite the fact that the government is buying the bonds, because it makes other assets more attractive. So we've seen a significant contraction in government bond yields over the course of this week and over the last 2 weeks. That's the exact opposite of what we've seen with quantitative easing in places like the USA. The big question, therefore, is whether this contraction in yields in India has already run its course. It would be hard to imagine that we're going to see, or there will be an additional contraction here, without the rest of the world also seeing bond yields contracting. So on a simple spread basis, just Indian yields should be attractive around 6% if the USA is attractive around 1.7%. But of course, that is dependent on the rupee stabilizing. And these dynamic moves we're seeing in the rupee should make Indian debt less appealing. So that would suggest that yields will rise from the region of the trend mean where they're currently being, that level is currently being tested. Then when we think about the Nifty index, it bounced in here today. So holding the lower side of this range that's been forming for the last couple of months and slowly but surely unwinding that overbought condition relative to the trend mean. One thing is also clear is that the Australian market continues to hold its breakout. It's been completely inert now for the last 4 days. That's unlikely to last. The Australian dollar is right in the region of the trend mean and starting to firm. The New Zealand market is also right in the region of the trend mean and beginning to firm. We've also got some evidence of the housing markets really accelerating in places like New Zealand, which were particularly attractive to pandemic migrants in 2020. So the price of property in New Zealand really took off. Australia had been looking at rolling over in property prices, but they're now breaking out to new all-time highs. But I think the broader trend is that property prices everywhere are trending higher. And that is in direct response to the demand to move, but additionally, it's because of inflation in construction prices and low interest rates overall. So there are both push and pull factors to higher property prices, and that's a truly global phenomenon. And then we have lumber, which has accelerated higher in a very meaningful fashion. It's up 50% in a month, and that's a lot for a commodity. But it's especially a lot for a commodity that only trades about 2,800 contracts. So that would suggest that it's acutely at risk of interference, particularly from regulators. But of course, there's a reason that the price has been rallying, and it's simply that there was a response to low demand last year, or in 2019. So they started, or the major lumber companies started curtailing their supply, and they have successfully inflated the price. But now they're running into issues like a lack of a labor force, and the low wages are just not high enough to attract people into the sector. And then of course they are looking at increasing demand. They'll certainly need to have some form of response in terms of that supply. But the much bigger question is, are we going to see margin rates increase? Because if we do, well, that would likely coincide with a medium-term peak. But the bigger picture is that when we look at lumber over the long term, the last time we had a major base completion was in 1993, and that gave way to an extraordinarily lengthy range. And now we've had a similar breakout. So it's quite likely that this incredible advance that we've seen this year is a repeat of what we saw in 92 and 93. And subsequent to that, it moved into another very lengthy range. It's not like the world has suddenly run out of timber, although the mountain pine beetle, certainly that infestation has meant that a lot of the lumber in the Pacific Northwest is unusable. So more than 50% now of all lumber in North America is coming from the southeast of the USA. But it does suggest that we At this acceleration, there's going to be some form of supply response, but there's no evidence of it occurring just yet. And then when we can think about the performance of the home builders, well, they are certainly going to have to deal with higher costs overall, but they can simply raise prices. And as long as bond yields are coming down, well, then that will also be positive in terms of mortgage rates. So there is certainly scope here for continued strength in the housing market on an international basis, and at least until we see interest rates rising. Certainly, we can think about the performance of SPACs as being a lightning rod for speculation. We have plenty of them these days. We used to really be Netflix and Tesla. Well, Netflix isn't going down, but it has certainly given over leadership to Tesla and to Bitcoin, to the cryptocurrency markets generally. The SPAC sector is not performing as well as the IPOs, and I guess there's a good reason for that, and it's that the sector is starting to attract the interest of regulators. And you have the SEC warning people against investing in SPACs because somebody famous has attached their name to it, which is sensible at least, but it certainly isn't stopping them from increasingly gathering money to invest in companies that don't have any profits. Faraday Futures, for example, is a company that's almost gone bust at least twice, and now they are increasingly going for it's looking increasingly likely that they are going to list via a SPAC. Grab in Singapore is about to list via SPAC, and they're only going to sell about 10% of the company, or I think 11% of the company. So at least they're not going for the whole hog. Uber announced today that they've had the highest demand in a month for rides, and I thought that I saw another statistic that pollution in Europe is back to pre-pandemic levels. So we are certainly coming out the other end of the pandemic. And the news from the UK, where the number of vaccines that have been administered is high, and the success that that has created in terms of bringing down the number of cases and deaths is particularly encouraging. The FTSE 100 continues to hold the breakout from the most recent range, and the FTSE 250 is still also pushing on to new all-time highs. And both of those factors are quite positive, but it also is supportive of the global economy that the UK seems to be coming through this pandemic in rather firm fashion. And it holds out hope that a similar condition will be achieved by everywhere else, even as variants start to pop up, because obviously the UK had its own variant that it had to deal with, and yet the large number of vaccinations that have been done have helped to control that risk. So there are good reasons for why investors might be thinking about what the better case scenarios are. And there's certainly the potential that we're going to see more building and on an infrastructure basis, and that's likely to create demand for industrial resources. So the South African rand was stronger in here today, and South Africa has been out of the headlines in terms of its or how well or not it's been dealing with the coronavirus and the fact that it's had its own variant pop up as well. Brazil, on the other hand, is still in the news because of the rapid spread of its own variant, but so far the real is holding its lows around the sixth level. As these countries start to get control of their various issues, and it might just take another few months in order to get more vaccines to the rest of the world as some of the more developed countries reach their inoculation goals. There'll be a lot more supply made available to the rest of the world. And then we have the fact that the industrial resources are still quite firm, although we do have a short-term overbought condition. Now, the big question for the resources sector is going to be how well copper can continue to hold up. It's still ranging around this $4 level. We still have a sequence of ranges, one above another, and the reactions are reasonably similar sized, although the pullback we had in early March was somewhat larger than we'd seen over the last year. The big question for copper and for the main other industrial resources is if China's credit cycle is starting to roll over, will there be a correlation with demand for resources? So the bull case for industrial resources is certainly reliant on a massive global infrastructure boom, not completely dependent on China. And as I think expectations migrate from one to the other, we could end up with a corrective phase in some of the industrial resources or a swifter process of mean reversion. But it's quite likely that this momentum and impatience that we have in the renewable energy sector will be enough to really create a great deal of demand for infrastructure development, renewable infrastructure development, and then, of course, we have the significant potential demand for new housing units as well. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.